Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. That light on the very first day of creation was not the sun, moon, and stars. They were created. The sun, moon, and stars were created on the fourth day. And so we have, and we've taught, and Brother Stewart has been here many times and taught, that what was that light on the very first day of creation? And I believe it was Jesus Christ incarnate there, or Jesus Christ there is a theophany, and that Christ was indeed the light of the world, physically speaking, in the beginning. In the beginning. We see that same light appear, or at least the Shekinah glory appear, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. What a great miracle God did for the children of Israel. And we think about the 10 plagues upon Egypt and how God, the Bible says, carried them out on eagle's wings. He carried them out with a mighty hand, the Bible says, out of Egypt and going back to the promised land, the land of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the land of Canaan, again, that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And when they left Egypt, God led them with light. A light by night, a cloud by day. That same light came and abode upon Mount Sinai. And there, God met with Moses. And God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And, well, there's a lot of time we could spend there on top of Mount Sinai as God talked with Moses. And not only did he receive the Ten Commandments, also received the pattern for the tabernacle and all the ceremonial offerings and the rituals that would take place that God gave to Moses, but that light was there. This same light followed them, or led them, not followed, but led them in the wilderness. So we talk about the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. They technically didn't wander in the wilderness, as we would think in the English Texas vernacular. The cloud led them by day, and the fire by night, the light by night. And God led them through the wilderness for 40 years. Could you just imagine that Shekinah glory, if you would, when they stopped, that point of light, that fire, that Shekinah glory would come down when they completed putting the tabernacle back up. That Shekinah glory would come down and dwell inside the tabernacle between the cherubs on top of the mercy seat. When it was time to move, when Israel was to move from that place to another, that Shekinah glory would come up out of the tabernacle, or the cloud if it was daytime, of course, but it would come up out of the tabernacle and it would start moving. And guess what? Israel knew that it's time to move. And they would follow that cloud by day and that fire by night. When Solomon finished the temple, when he completed the temple in Jerusalem and built a house for God, the Bible says that Shekinah glory showed up. In fact, it showed up in such a way that the priest could not even enter the temple. It was such a great presence, or a wonderful presence of God. And there was great rejoicing. And that Shekinah glory, that light, went into the Holy of Holies and dwelt again on top of the mercy seat. Again, if you're not a Bible student, I hope that you're still following the pattern. From Genesis chapter 1 to Exodus, all the way to King David, and then all the way to King Solomon, the completing of the temple. And that Shekinah glory is there in the temple. Remember now, when Moses went into the tabernacle, and he went into the Holy of Holies, and the Bible says he spoke to God face to face. Just imagine that. He would go in there, and when he came out, his face would glow because of that Shekinah glory. It permeated him, if you would. In fact, it scared the children of Israel so much that Moses had to put a veil on his face. And that glory would fade as time went on, and when he went back into the tabernacle to speak with God, that glory, that light, or that shining would return. And it would fade, and that's another whole message. We'll actually preach on that some next Sunday morning. When the temple was completed, we know that again that the Holy of Holies was only entered into one time a year. So the high priest would only get to see again that Shekinah glory one time a year. Maybe get to see is not the right phrase for that. I think there was some fear and trepidation by the priest going in there, praying that he was right with God and something wouldn't happen to him. But that Shekinah glory, that glory, the glory of God there in the ark, above the ark, on top of the mercy seat. So throughout the Old Testament, we see the Shekinah glory. We see the presence of God in physical form, if you would, in physical reality. You know, that's why today we live by faith and not by sight. The children of Israel live by sight. They had that physical manifestation, if you would, of God. But there was a time when Israel turned their back. In fact, they did so many times, but they kind of the last straw for God, if you would. And in Isaiah chapter 8, you have that Shekinah glory still there in the temple. But God throws back the curtain of the Holy of Holies for the prophet Isaiah. And there Isaiah looks into the temple itself and finds and sees that the priests are worshiping creeping things behind the walls of the temple. Literally worshiping creeping things in the temple itself. Not worshiping Jehovah God, worshiping creeping things. It also describes those who were outside the temple worshiping the god Tammuz, worshiping the god of the sun, on the temple mount, on the temple grounds, there inside the temple area. And God said, that's enough. And God told Ezekiel he was going to judge Israel, and Isaiah had already been told. And so in Ezekiel chapter 8, you kind of have that God saying, hey, Isaiah, look what the priests are doing. Look what the children of Israel are doing. Look how they've gone after other gods, and look what they're doing. In Ezekiel chapter 9, you have the glory of God departing. This is kind of important. So that Shekinah glory that was in the temple, in Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 3 through 4, it says that Shekinah glory came out of the Holy of Holies and sat or dwelt there in the temple door. And then in Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 8 through 19, it says it left the temple door and came to the east gate of Jerusalem, and there it dwelt. And then in Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 22 through verses 23, it says it left the east gate and went to the mountains on the east side of Jerusalem. And the progression, just wanted you to see the progression. Again, light came to the world in Genesis chapter 1. We see that light appearing to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, dwelling with Israel in the tabernacle, dwelling with Israel in the temple. And then in Ezekiel, we see the Shekinah glory depart from the Israelite nation, depart from the city of Jerusalem because of their sin. But the scripture we read this morning, Isaiah chapter 9, prophesied that the light would return. I'm not going to go back and read it, but you can read it yourself in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. 700 years before Christ was born into this world, it was prophesied that the Messiah would return by the prophet Isaiah, and that he would be the light. And that the light that had left in Ezekiel chapter 9 and 10 and 11, that the light that had left the city of Jerusalem, that light would return. And that he would light those who are in darkness. And that he would be a light to those who are in the shadow of death. That he would be that hope. That he would be the salvation of the world. I'm thankful tonight I know I'm saved. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be born as a man and to live a sinless life for 33 and a half years. And then he died on the cross, not for sins he committed, but for sins what we have done. Isaiah says that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And there Christ died on the cross. Getting ahead of myself. The light was born into the world there in Bethlehem. Remember the wise men? What did they say? We have seen the star in the east, his star. They said it's his star in the east. And we've come to worship him. This is found in Matthew chapter 2. And the wise men, the kings, if you would, asked, where is he? You know, the king got his counselors together and they searched the prophecies of the Old Testament. And guess what? They found Micah 5 verse 2 that said he would be born in Bethlehem. And they said, hey, you go to Bethlehem. And the Bible says there in Matthew chapter 2 that the star led them. Amen. Led them to the house. Let's read that. Let's take a little time. Matthew chapter 2, just a few pages over, so that you really do see this. Again, the light returning. Isaiah speaks of the light returning. The light returning. Matthew chapter 2. And verse 1 says, and now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, I'm going to skip around a little bit. Verse 2 saying that these wise men came to King Herod and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Verse 2, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And that's when Herod got his group together and said, hey, where is it going to be? And verse 5, he says, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And that they quotes Micah verse 5, chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 6. It says in verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent it to them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, listen to this. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. So this is not talking about a shooting star. It's not talking about some body of light as far as a physical rock that's, you know, shining in the atmosphere. This is a star that led them. And I believe absolutely this is the Shekinah glory leading them. It says, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So this point of light, if you would, or the Shekinah glory came over and dwelt there on the house. I mean, just they didn't have to guess which house he was in. It's there. Hey, there's a big old light above that house. I think he's in that one. Amen. Don't have no electricity running to it. Or at that time, it'd be like oil, you know, lamp thingy, bobby. But anyway, no electricity. And when they saw, verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. We see the light had returned. That light, the star in the east, came down and dwelt upon the house where Jesus was, the young child was. Sorry to bust some of your bubbles that the wise men didn't come to the manger scene, but came to the house as a young child, and there the Shekinah glory was. Amen. And there in the manger, or there in the house was the light. Every once in a while, that light busted out, you know. Jesus Christ laid aside his glory when he came to this world. But every once in a while, it kind of got a little glimmer of it, right? On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus there, his light shone. We're not going to turn there. You can look it up yourself. The light shone. By the way, the Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness. By the way, we're not pantheistic. We're not saying God is light. We're saying God manifests himself as light. So don't get the idea. I'm not saying God is light. But over and over again, he manifests himself as light. Light dispels darkness. It's a great picture. Saul on the road to Damascus, who had persecuted the church, who had assented to the death of Stephen and was persecuting Christians all over the area. Jesus Christ appeared to him. How did he appear to him? Jesus Christ was dead. How did he appear to him? Risen from the dead. How did he appear to Saul? As a light. The Bible says, Saul said the light was as bright as the noonday sun. And Jesus said to Saul, out of that light, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Again, there was no electricity plug going to that light. I think if I saw a light like that and a voice coming from heaven, I think I would be a little humbled as well. The light. The light. We could follow this same light all the way to John, the Revelator, in Revelation chapter 1, where John saw the Lord, again, bright as the noonday sun in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, it says, when we get to heaven, guess what? There'll be no need for the sun, moon, or stars, because He, the Lamb, will be the light thereof. Jesus will be the light thereof. What an amazing thought. As we think about light tonight, we think about that light. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus Christ's own words, He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I mentioned this morning that the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 was not a prophecy that had gone by the wayside. There were many of the remnant who knew of that prophecy. Matthew chapter 4, John the Baptist in John chapter 1 makes it clear that he was not the light. Well, how can he make it clear that he's not the light if no one knew the prophecy? No, they knew of the prophecy. John the Baptist says, I'm not the light. I've only been sent to bear record of the light. Amen. That is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And Jesus is that light. And Jesus himself said, John the Baptist said he was the light. Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. I believe he was literally the light of the world in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. I believe he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. I believe that he dwelt there in the tabernacle. I believe he dwelt there in the temple. I believe he came to this earth born in a manger. In his earthly ministry, he was indeed the light of the world. 33 and a half years, he was the light. But he went to the cross, not for crimes again, not for crimes he had done, not for sins he committed, but he went to the cross for you and for me. And there, if you would, the light was snuffed out once again, as it had been done in Ezekiel chapter 8, 9, 10, 11. The light was snuffed out. But guess what? 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And guess what? The light's going to return. The prophecy of his return is an amazing, amazing prophecy. I was just in Jerusalem, just there, just a few weeks ago. My wife and I and some of our church family. We were there on top of the Mount of Olives. There where Jesus Christ one day will return at the end of the tribulational period. And the Bible says when he lands on top of Mount Olives that the mount will split in two. And there will become a river out of that mountain. And that when he comes, that he will kill, if you would. He will defeat the armies with the brightness of his coming. He's going to return to Jerusalem again. He's not returning as a lamb to the slaughter, but he's returning as the lion, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His light will return, and he will rule and reign from Jerusalem forever and ever and ever. Jesus Christ is indeed the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I think tonight the illustration is given. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he wasn't burning, you know. You didn't see him shining, right? I mean, they said he... In fact, the Bible says there was no beauty that we should desire him. He wasn't even a good-looking Jew per se. But he didn't shine. Why would he say that, I am the light of the world? Well, he's pulling back from what I just went through. From Genesis chapter 1 and Isaiah chapter 9 and the illustration there, the comparison, if you would, the way to illustrate the ministry that he was about to, you know, perform. Think about that ministry and the light that he was. What a great light he was. What a great light he is now through the scriptures, right? The great light we have in creation, revealing to us who and what he is. The light's still shining. Now, again, it's going to shine a lot brighter someday. I'm glad that those who seek the light find it. Amen? He's not very far from many of us. Cornelius sought the light and God sent him, you know, an apostle. Yeah. The light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I didn't grow up in a church that had candlelight services. I still think it's a beautiful picture. But one of the points I want to make is it's not just a beautiful picture, but if indeed, and I think it's absolutely possible and probably was, that Jesus Christ was indeed manifested on the very first day, he literally was the light of the world in Genesis chapter 1. Illustrations carried all the way through the Old Testament until the light is born. And he says, I am the light of the world. All right, let's turn the lights off if we can, and we'll start back over here. And I'll read a few scripture and we'll talk a little bit. Except for the one video screen. It's never going off. Hey, that's the clear side too. You can read that one better. Other side's dull, like my eyesight. And it's never shutting off. There it goes. I don't know why I always start on this side. It's the best. Yeah, it's the best side. John chapter 8, and we could read John chapter 9 and many other scriptures. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He was a witness. He came not just to be a good teacher, but he came as a sacrifice for us. An example of giving, an example for us. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he says, ye are the light of the world. And that we should not hide our light. We sing that little song as kids. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, don't hide it under a bushel. We need to be a light. We need to share the good news of the sacrifice he made on Calvary. It's amazing what one light will do in a big room, right? Oh, there it goes. It's amazing what one light will do. And the difference it'll make. I almost ran over Brother Cox. Jesus said in John 9, verse 5, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. John chapter 12, he said, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. John 12, he says, I am the light come into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. John chapter 1, he says, and in him is life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, speaking of John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, not through John, but through Jesus, might believe. He was not the light, speaking of John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus Christ is the light. It says, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. But in Matthew chapter 5, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light. And we are to give light. We are to be the light, to share the light with those around us, and to all that were in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So this verse helps us to know what it is. What does it mean to be a light? It means to do good works. We're not saved by our works. We're saved unto good works. We're saved to do good works, to be a light to those around us, so that they may glorify God, their Father which is in heaven. So we are to share the light. There's a call come ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. What a great song that we sing. It certainly has a biblical context. All right, if you, Kai, if you'd go over there, just find We're going to let this thing go from over to that side. Brother Wiggins, if you would start that way, and we're going to let it flood across the room. Say, preacher, Jesus gave this commandment to be the light of the world, and he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that all the world might be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. How is that possible? How can that truly take place? And what about those who have never heard? And I'm telling you, if all of us would get serious about being a light, everyone would hear. I mean, God used 12 apostles to turn the world upside down. Certainly, if we would get serious in the new year about being a light, what a great difference that would make. I think all of us have learned here of late that one vote makes a difference. Hello? I'm telling you, one light makes a difference. You being a light at your job makes a difference. When others see Jesus in you, by the way, being a light means being an imitator of Christ. It's being the moon. It's being a reflector of the sun. We're to be a reflector of Jesus Christ. Imitate him. Selfless to our neighbors, selfless to our coworkers, that we are to imitate Jesus Christ in everything that we do as Christians, as born-again believers, as children of God. And I just want to challenge you in the new year. Be a light. Be a light. Be a light at school, kids. Be a light at school, teenagers. Be a light at school, young people at college. Man, the world's in darkness. Jesus Christ came to dispel darkness. And every time you live right, every time you do right, every time you live as Jesus would live, you're being a light to those around you. And that's what we're supposed to do, to be a light, to share that light, as you did tonight. You shared the light as it came across the room. And if we'll share the light in the world, it'll light up like this. Again, the hope for America is not the politician. Hope for America is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the light. This is the hope. The hope. A politician, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a counselor can't change a man's heart or a woman's heart. Only God can change the heart. You want to change a life? Share the light. You can't change that life, but the light will. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that tonight? Do you really believe the gospel changes lives? I believe that without a doubt. Then share the light. Share the light. What a thought. What a great, great picture and illustration. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful year we've had and for this Christmas season as we celebrate your birth Tuesday. Lord, may we share that light with our children, our grandchildren, as we read the Christmas story, may we be reminded of the reason for the season. And Lord, as we approach the new year, may we be an imitator of your dear son, Jesus. May others see a difference in us. May others see your son lived through us. And Lord, help us to be the light that we ought to be. And God, we just pray for our light as a church to shine brightly in this community. May the community continue to see in us a selfless people, a giving people. Lord, may we continue to be givers and not takers. May we be contributors to our society and to our country. Lord, again, thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.